This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on strengthening ASEAN-India relations. The participants are Professor Swarna Singh, international relations expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Professor Singh, a warm welcome to Akashvani.
Thank you so much.
For India, ASEAN is the cornerstone of its Act East policy and the Indo-Pacific vision that was thereafter built on it. Why is our political, economic and security cooperation with ASEAN of the utmost importance?
I think clearly when India was having difficulties in early 1990s and under duress had to open up Indian economy, ASEAN became our first port of call. From 1970s, led by the Japanese flying geese model of Japanese ODA to some of these countries, six countries at that time, forming ASEAN, they had undergone economic transformation and they were called tiger economies. And when India wanted to open up, obviously these tiger economies of ASEAN were the most opportune countries to engage with. And of course, since then, ASEAN has always been coming of India in all their initiatives, in all their institutions, organizations that they have launched over years. And therefore, I think that has continuously expanded in terms of India moving now into all kind of several sectors, starting from economic relationship, then moving to investments to reinforce India's historical cultural linkages, people to people, and now moving into a whole lot of new other sectors which involve the strategic maritime security cooperation. Indeed, last year when Prime Minister was in Jakarta, he had announced his 12-point program listing a whole lot of new things where India can participate in making that partnership productive for both sides in that sense. So primarily economic relationship, which has now expanded enormously. That's why moved from look east to act east, to look far east and so on. So I think both sides have found it very productive also in the context of the new debate on Indo-Pacific geopolitics, where ASEAN outlook on Indo-Pacific and India's Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative have very similar way of looking at how stability, prosperity, security in this entire larger region should be maintained, where India has always said ASEAN should be at the center stage. And therefore, I think India calls ASEAN as a cornerstone of India's look east policy or act east policy.
What you said and the importance associated with it. The External Affairs Minister, Dr. S. Jayashankar, visited Vientiane Lao PDR from July 25 to 27 at the invitation of Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister of Lao PDR to participate in the foreign ministers' meetings under the ASEAN framework in the format of ASEAN-India, East Asia Summit and ASEAN Regional Forum. What has been the outcome of this visit?
I think two things are important to understand. First, the context. Way back, I think in November of 2001, India-ASEAN summits had begun in Vientiane. So it's like coming back to Vientiane where it all began. Second, as Foreign Minister also underlined, this year marks the 10th year anniversary of India's Act East policy. So this context makes it relevant that in this meeting they must have had a kind of revisit at the entire relationship, how far it has come and where to take it forward. And in that sense, I think both the collective meeting of India-ASEAN foreign ministers, but then you recall that Indian foreign minister also had series of bilateral meetings, have created a whole lot of new possibilities in a whole range of areas that foreign minister's speech also outlines in terms of expanding cooperation in terms of digital, defense, maritime, connectivity, health, culture, agriculture, education, and so on in several sectors. But I think more specific is the announcement he made that India is likely to open now an embassy in Delhi, city of Delhi in Timor-Leste, which is right now an observer, 11th country possibly to join, but right now observer in ASEAN. So India in that sense has underlined the constant expansion and deepening of relationship and occasionally sought to relook and redefine, and in which I think the current format, which is more interesting to understand where India is trying to take that relationship, is Prime Minister's 12-point program that was announced in Jakarta last year. In that sense, it's a relationship based on enormous mutual trust. You know, relationship goes back to ancient times, and of course, contemporary relationship from 1990s has taken a whole new shape. I think it's unique in many ways, but the last quick point to underline is how both have exactly the same approach to how they want to understand and deal with the current debate on Indo-Pacific geopolitics. And indirectly, without saying so, how they wish to address their shared China challenge. And there is enormous bonhomie in that sense between India and ASEAN. That is why India describes ASEAN, as is being said repeatedly, as the cornerstone of India's Lucas policy or Lucas policy.
There are two very important events that took place during this meeting. One was the MOUs on the 10 quick impact projects under the Mekong Ganga cooperation and cooperation in sharing successful digital solutions. And the other was the issue of trafficking of Indian nationals through cyber scam centers. Let's first talk about these 10 quick impact projects.
I think Mekong India Cooperation Initiative goes back to Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee's time, which is where again they had tried to underline that the focus of relationship here is one on civilizational connect that India has with these countries of Southeast Asia, and not to frame it in terms of geopolitics. And that is the focus, which also connects us to the whole conversation about people-to-people context, which, again, I said, begin from ancient times. There is a whole flow during the colonial times. And, of course, 90s onwards, again, there is a flow for education, for employment, and so on. When so many Indians are traveling abroad, about 25 million plus, we often hear stories of success of people of Indian ethnic origin or Indian citizens. But lately, I think it goes back again to the time when Sushma Swaraj was foreign minister. India's increasing focus on Indian citizens who are in distress of any kind, whether it is removing them from conflict zones, but also addressing individual issues. And some of these lately, for example, in Russia, when Prime Minister was in Moscow, the issue of some of the Indians in Russian armed forces seeking to come out of that difficult situation. Or now in ASEAN, if certain Indians are being sort of misinformed and misled, how to address those issues. And India, that reflects, has become increasingly much more conscious and engaged in how to ensure that Indian citizens anywhere in the world, when under any distress, should have assurance that the government of India will intervene and make sure that they come out of those difficulties. And the same, I think, is happening now repeatedly, again and again, wherever Indian leaders are visiting. In case there are some issues of that nature, they also come on the agenda and they find some solution to some of these issues as well.
The foreign minister also took up the, as we have already mentioned, the trafficking of the Indian nationals through cyber scam centers. In fact, he discussed the matter with Cambodia and Thailand as well during his visit. In fact, the latest news is that 13 Indians who were lured into the certain cyber scamming centers in Laos have been rescued and sent back home. In fact, the embassy has rescued somewhere around 518 Indians. So what could be the discussion on this matter with the amongst the foreign ministers?
I think this is clearly a issue that has very specific contours, and there could be easy solutions compared to some of the other issues that are discussed in these meetings that are largely abstract. And they are presented and discussed in terms of ideas. There is a specific number of people in specific situations, and that seems very easy to address and resolve because both sides have enormous trust and understanding on issues with each other. And I think once difficulty or issue is identified by India, then it should be easy and it should be fast that relief to those citizens will be provided. And we saw that happening in case of Russia. I'm sure we will see that happening in case of Cambodia as well. So I think this is something which is important to only identify. Once it is identified, then once it comes on agenda on meetings like this, I think that should lead to easy and quick solutions to some of these difficulties.
Professor Singh, people-to-people linkages are constantly being sought and constantly being expanded. And I think one such step that has been taken during foreign ministers' meeting is the launch of a special postage stamp set. Would you like to expand on that? The theme of the stamp set is celebrating shared cultural heritage of Lao PDR in India.
I think issuing stamps used to be a way of celebrating a particular event or individual. But lately, it has also become equally important to reinforce and revive postal services, which are in that sense undergoing enormous challenge with the whole transformation of how connectivity and communications have changed over a period of time. So now it is something which benefits both sides in terms of making the postal systems really much more visible and active, and also making some of these events and activities or connections between countries or within the country much more visible in that sense. To celebrate people-to-people contact is very appropriate, because increasingly, as you notice in international relations, as we shift from organizations to networks or groupings of kind, which are less structured and more informal, we are also talking of plurilateralism now, creating domestic constituencies that would support that kind of connectivity of nations at informal level have become a focus of attention. And therefore, people are a great focus of all nations as to how people can be connected to initiatives that states are taking. And they become important stakeholders. They provide the feedback in terms of how initiatives are being implemented. So in international relations, people-to-people connection after B2B, business-to-business connection, is something which is being privileged and prioritized among all international interactions or organizations.
Professor Singh, how does ASEAN contribute to regional stability and peace in Southeast Asia, and why is this important for India? And what role does India play in ASEAN-led forums such as the East Asia Summit and ASEAN Regional Forum?
The biggest strength of ASEAN is that most major stakeholders, Russia, China, United States, European countries, India, some of them of course do that for lip service, but most of them by consensus believe that ASEAN must remain the center stage of any conversation as to how stability, security in that entire larger region now called Indo-Pacific region.
Is that the concept of ASEAN centrality?
Yes, ASEAN centrality is repeatedly visible in documents on Indo-Pacific strategy issued by most countries, including India, United States, France, Germany, UK, Canada. All of them talk of centrality of ASEAN when they look at their strategy as to how will they engage Indo-Pacific region. So ASEAN becomes the most acceptable platform in that sense. And in ASEAN, if you notice, how is ASEAN looking at, you know, they have an ASEAN outlook of Indo-Pacific. Which country's strategy comes closest to ASEAN? You will find that India's Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative lays out the vision, and also the vision is laid out either in Prime Minister's speech at Shangri-La Dialogue in 2018 or Foreign Minister's speech 2 years back in Chulalongkorn University. ASEAN finds that India's view, for example, of keeping the region inclusive, making sure region doesn't get militarized, ASEAN finds that its approach even to deal with China is very similar, and therefore some other countries may have slightly stronger variation as to how ASEAN sees this region has to be organized in terms of keeping it free and open. And how India sees, they find India being the closest to their own version of how they want to organize this larger region's stability and security. And that makes India and ASEAN very, very complementary partners with each other. Indirectly, most of the countries talk of, ensuring stability of this region by looking at, putting some kind of restraint on China's uncontested rise. But on that also, I think ASEAN and India both believe that that should be done through engagement of Beijing rather than, keeping it at bay or not engaging China into these conversations.
Okay.
So on many ways, India and ASEAN find that they are extremely complementary in terms of the way they want to organize stability, prosperity and security of that larger region.
On that note, Professor Swaran Singh, we would like to thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on strengthening ASEAN-India relations. The participants were Professor Swaran Singh, international relations expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.